we consider a portion of Matthew, the 24th chapter. We have discussed this on other occasions, but perhaps there'll be certain things that'll be a little different tonight. And in the absence of what we thought was going to be true, we didn't bother with the recording. We planned a different study tonight rather than our regular cyclical, what's it, Revelation study or the Jeremiah. But now this is something separate. All right, let's turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And verses 37 through 39 only we'll consider for the moment.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Now, of course, to most Bible students, this is a very familiar passage, and generally it's used to teach a lesson concerning the second advent of Christ, but from the standpoint that it is an invisible advent. And so the word coming here is usually called to our attention that it's the word parousia, which signifies presence and does not mean necessarily a visible presentation. Therefore, the days of the Son of Man could be an invisible presence. And then sometimes we draw lessons from this same passage from the same standpoint that the unawareness of the populace, in other words, there's a coming flood that Noah and his family were aware of, but which the world, even though it had been witnessed to them by Noah and his sons, that there was coming such a catastrophic flood, they ignored it and jeered and abused Noah, ridiculed him, and they disbelieved such a message. So the pastor, in showing that the coupling the thought of an invisible parousia plus the fact that another unique feature with the harvest message is the prediction of a coming time of trouble, such as there never was since there was a nation. That's a peculiar feature of the harvest message, as well as other factors. And the public also are not concerned with that. They say, oh, this has always happened, and it's always failed. And so they, just as back there, the people in Noah's day, even though he apprised them of this coming flood, they did not prepare for it. In fact, they just went right ahead with their accustomed living. So it says here they built houses and so forth and married and gave marriage. And they knew not until the day that the flood came and took them away. So the unawareness of the populace is the next factor. The presence, and that the days of Noah, it says here, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. In other words, Noah was here for a period of time. It wasn't just when Noah came, but as it was in the certain days of his life, a certain feature of his life, he was here and he preached constantly, plural, days plural, as in the days of Noah, and he made them aware of this coming flood. They didn't know until the day that the flood came. So you have several days compared to a singular day. The several days would be a period of time, as in the days of Noah. But the day of the flood was momentary, very fast, quick, short, not a long, prolonged period of time. So you're contrasting days plural with day singular. That's another aspect that we have gone over in past times. And then in Peter, he emphasizes the the reprobate character of the people in that day. Now, in Matthew, that isn't the feature. It's the unawareness, and they went right ahead doing their customary thing, building houses and marrying. There's nothing wrong with building a house or marrying, but what it means that they were not concerned with the message of Noah and didn't conduct their lives accordingly. But Peter brings out another aspect about how they abused Noah and ridiculed him and didn't believe and said, oh, this has always happened in the past. It's the heavens, they're the same. And it would seem that they were right, because here he's building this huge boat on dry land for a period of 120 years, and there were no flood before. In fact, it hadn't even rained up until Noah's day, that the moisture came from the ground to water crops. So this is very familiar to Bible students. Now of late, of course, since we've been a long time in the harvest period, and since 1874, the Second Advent, and here it's 108 years later, and the some of the things of expectations of Bible students haven't materialized, the time factor and a review of that which we have previously understood and learned is, of course, essential to see as to why this particular delay. Now, tonight, the purpose of this study is to consider that there is also a time period here. But when you read it, you don't get that aspect, because it's just saying, but as the days of Noah, and so forth. Now, there are several ways that a time period is indicated. Now, can you suggest what? Alright, but that you would know by familiarity with going back to Genesis 6 and 7, where you read about Noah when he was making the ark, where the Lord disclosed to Noah and he says, yet 120 years will I tolerate with this condition, but you build this boat for your safety, your family's safety, and for the preservation of the beasts of the earth. You build this huge boat, and in 120 years, then I will no longer tolerate this situation that presently exists. I'm just putting it in a more common frame or a reference of language. All right, now, but there's clues. One is, as has been suggested, that we notice that when we go back to the days of Noah, that there was a time limitation or period involved in connection with the preparing of the ark. All right. Next.
Yes.
All right. In the prophecy of Matthew, you have also buried in this chapter, but elsewhere, that there will come this time of tribulation such as there never was since there was a nation, and that nor would there ever be in the future again such a situation. This is talking about the present arrangement or order of the second world, the present evil world. No, nor ever shall be. So that generation there suggests a period of time without spelling it out. It just says this generation, like you said, shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. So a time element is suggested, but there is a little indefiniteness as to what time element, how long, but you do sense that it's short, because it says this generation shall not pass away. It isn't some long period of time, it's a relatively near time for fulfillment. Yes? Well, we'll go into that. That's one. But the more pertinent, we'll have to go into that in a little detail. But there's another suggestion.
In verse 34, affects them, that day and hour knows nothing.
That's the verse that alerts you. It's strange that he's talking about his coming, his second advent. He tells a number of things, the destruction of the temple and so forth. And then he mentions in this that of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, neither the angels nor the Son of Man. In one gospel, see, this is recorded also in the gospel according to St. Luke. We're reading Matthew 24. I'm not looking at it, but one of them says that even the Son doesn't know. Even he didn't know. But my Father only. But now, when we read this chapter of Jesus in which he said of that day and hour, of which he himself didn't know, yet the detail here is so explicit, we know that he would know very much about it and would be apprised as to how long that period would be, but not the specific day. Notice day and hour. Now, he doesn't say year. He doesn't say, of that year knoweth no man, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. So, and I do think that he had a very close understanding of the length of the gospel age, but not knowing the specific date, and it wasn't intended that he should know for several reasons, which this is not the prerogative of tonight's study. But right after that, of that day and hour knoweth no man, but he's answering it. But as in the days of Noah they were doing, until the day of the, so in the days of my second advent. So he is answering that question, but not the day and the hour, but he is giving, let us say, the year almost, which we'd like to consider. He is giving some answer here, where normally you just finish the subject. And you'll notice that in connection with the break, and in the comparison with the other Gospels, part of which is in Mark and part in Luke and so forth, that the translators broke this interval out in the preceding verse. You notice they didn't start as the days of Noah. They start with the verse previous as a break in thought, because they could sense from the Greek, as well by the comparison with the other Gospels, that that point is correlated with the flood, but they don't know why. They don't know why. They do it on other bases, the study of language and so forth. There are certain things you can come to a conclusion, but you don't know the philosophy of it. And so these men are very learned and very astute, but they're not having the truth or the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit in this sense. They don't know the reason. They can see certain things, and this verse properly should introduce about the days of Noah. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, even in the other gospel it says, neither did the Son. Here it says, not the Son also, because if the Father only knew, that means he didn't know of that day and hour. Now, my suggestion is that it still will never be known, the day and the hour, until it happens. But that does not rule out the year. In other words, and the very purpose of giving this clue is to alert us as we get in nearer and nearer the end of the age. And we're in the days of the Son of Man. We're in the days of the Second Advent. So now it becomes more and more pertinent that we examine this a tiny bit closer. Now, and another thing. Let's go back and read in Genesis. That would be 6th and 7th chapter. Let's see. Probably the 6th we have to start with a little. Instead of reading all this, maybe you'll help me spot the verses. we want the verse where it mentions 120 years. Let's find that. That may be the next chapter somewhere. No, it's this chapter. I see it. Verse 3. Would you read that, Vincent? Yeah. That verse.
And the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
All right. Now, notice the preceding verse tells about the materialization of the fallen angels and how they took wives, right? The previous verse. Then it says that it's God's purpose to wait yet another 120 years. Now, when did this taking of the wives take place? Roughly, an approximate.
Well, I think Peter indicates that it was during this 120 year period.
Right. It would be probably at the beginning of 100. And what happened? They materialized, took wives, and they had children. And the children became very destructive. But they themselves were destructive because they took the wives of whomsoever they chose. That suggests violence right there. Because some of them would be already married. Some married, some not married. And to just take them would show that this would be a disruptive influence in the society at that time. Yes?
Do you mean it only occurred at the beginning?
No, I'm not saying
it started then and occurred.
This is where the, for instance, you have the children or the hybrids here also mentioned that the same, at this time, where is it now? The next verse. But there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in after men, and they became mighty men in the... Now, the giants there, normally we think of the giants as just the Nephilim, the progeny. Sometimes we think of the giants or the Nephilim as being the fallen angels. The word Nephilim, incidentally, means fallen one. I'm inclined more to think the Nephilim has to do with the fallen angels themselves rather than their progeny or the hybrid. But this verse suggests that both are embraced. That both are embraced. For instance, notice how it says this. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that the sons of God came in unto the door and had children. The children were giants also, but of a different kind. So it's suggesting that the birth of the hybrid race followed their coming in and taking the wives. And this, but there were giants in the earth in those days, is speaking of them before this, childbearing took place. So, I would think the giants first were the fallen angels themselves, later including also their progeny. And so in the mythology that's found in various nations, they speak of the gods and the demigods. This is a frequent term used in different languages. I'm using English now. And they make a distinction. And when you read these old mythologies, they're confused on this subject. But they do know that there were two classes of these giants. And the one class they called the gods. And the others, the half-gods. Well, the progeny, or the offspring, would be the demigods. That they were the offspring of a spirit being and a human female. Now, this is still not the point. This just gives the background. Now, when all this trouble is arising, the Lord is determined that he's not just going to pacify this situation and just let the earth go to pot in its own way. He's going to put an abrupt end to this, but he does mention a 120-year period. Now, next. How long did Noah live?
and women.
950, I think it was. 950. Well, that's close. It's in the 950.